on the beach, the only place to read your emails and your tweets. It's Monday, December 21st. Happy NBA Eve. Oh, we're so close now. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Tassie. We got the Bassmaster ripping them lips, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! The international man of mystery taking it to the Max Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Last but not least, making the magic happen is JD.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are on a Monday. Shout out to the stream team joining us live on YouTube a little earlier than normal. We see you. We appreciate you. If you haven't already, make sure you check out Saturday's No Dunks podcast with Peter Sawkins from the Great British Bake Off. Trey and JD with the exclusive one-on-one with Peter from, again, the Great British Bake Off, if you're a fan of that show. That is a blast. That young man is a delight,
I would like to say.
No doubt. Absolutely. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
That guy was so nice that he has me considering actually buying a fruit cake during this Christmas season. I thought that after I saw Tass have to eat a whole one during an episode of The Starters, I would never touch one, but if Peter suggests it, it must be good.
Yeah,
I would just say, even if you don't want to listen to this show, just go and watch it on YouTube and watch JD the entire time. He is smiling like he's the happiest kid in school. The only other time I've seen him smile that much was when Wendell Holland came into the studio and
from Survivor.
It's true. It's true. They're the top two shows we've ever done.
So go check out that podcast that dropped on Saturday. It is a lot of fun. Even if you're not, you've never even heard or seen the Great British Bake Off show, he is he's just a really cool, fun kid, and he's an NBA fan too, you know, over on the other side of the pond. So go check that out. We also, this is big news, dropped some new merch this morning. We got new items available at nodunks.com. We got like sort of a No Dunks basketball high school gear vibe going here. You're seeing it now if you're joining us on YouTube. Available in three colors. We got the black, the gray, and the purple. Those are our school colors. And we got like a soft ass crew neck sweater. We got champion shorts. So here's what I want in 2021 with this new available merchandise at nodunks.com. I want to see when it's safe, when we all get the vaccine and we can all sort of have a normal life again. I want to see like a bunch of like No Dunks rec league teams, Dunks 3-on-3 teams going to get the gold, going to win the trophy, all suited and booted there in the new material or the new item. So yeah, go grab those from nodunks.com. And we got, of course, all the other stuff. Tass, you got the No Dunks t-shirt on there today. Popping that purple. Looks good on you. Purple looks good. You look like a king, my man.
Cool neck as well.
This is my natural chest.
Yeah.
But yeah, Skeets, you're right. You know, people are going to be making some New Year's resolutions here. I got to get back in shape. What better way to get back in shape than by throwing on a No Dunks crew neck and jumping rope or doing some bar three? Can you do bar three in a crew neck, Lee? I don't know. Oh. You might get a little sweaty.
Oh, you'll get sweaty. You get sweaty anyway doing a bar three. But yeah, you look even sexier in a crew neck.
Do you have a favorite color there, Lee, of those new shirts? Do you like the heather gray, the black, or the purple? Which one are you going with?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough with colors because they can be very nice for a while and then you go off them. So I do like to stick to sort of the grayer colors because they tend to sort of hold firm. I am, look, I shouldn't say it, but I'm holding up this very solid play one and it still holds firm, you know? Sometimes colors can do that with you, you know?
Okay, well, I'm a fan of the purple. Like, Tass has got the No Dunks purple on. You got that new No Dunks basketball one with the purple. So go grab whatever the heck you want. NoDunks.com. And thanks to everybody who sent in questions over the last few weeks. Keep your questions always coming. NoDunks@theAthletic.com. You know, you usually go beach stepping once a week when the season has tipped off. So get your questions and your comments in. Now, we're going to get to a bunch of questions, Tass. You'll get to our first one. But first, we had some, like, contract extension news that I thought I could throw at you guys. And you can address it if you want to. I'll just lump them all together. Rudy Gobert, he's signing a 5-year, $205 million contract extension with the Utah Jazz. Largest deal for a center in league history. I love how we get these notes now because the numbers are crazy. But it was less than what he was eligible for, which was potentially the Giannis-like Supermax extension worth $228 million. So Rudy's throwing Utah a little bone here. Then, according to Woj, Kyle Kuzma has agreed to a 3-year, $40 million extension with the Lakers. This contract includes a player option for the 23-24 season, which is rare for the non-max rookie extension, as Woj noted. And then finally, Lauri Markkanen and the Bulls, unlikely, I guess, to reach a deal on a suitable extension. That's the last I saw from Casey Johnson there. So, Lee, what did you want to address there? Gobert signing the 5-year, $205 Kyle with the 340, or even Lauri Markkanen if you want.
Well, I'll start with the big one, and I think that's Rudy Gobert, because depending on which side of the spectrum we fall on, Rudy Gobert will sort of be how you value this contract. Some people think he's a little overrated, some think he's a little underrated, but the facts speak for themselves. He's a three-time All-NBA player. He's a two-time Defensive Player of the Year, and ironically, only a one-time All-Star. You know, usually the All-Star nods are harder to get than those other awards, and he's only been a one-time All-Star. But, you know, we know defensively he's one of the most impactful players in the game. No question about that, and he has been for the last couple of years. He's 28, so he's certainly he's got a couple more years, probably 3 or 4 years, really, where he can still be a very, very good defensive player. Now, you mentioned there how he was eligible for that Supermax, and I saw, you know, during the week last week that he was actually holding out for that, but then he told Tim McMahon of ESPN that he didn't ask for that. He was always prepared to go a little bit under to give the Jazz a little bit more flexibility. But either way, he's getting paid very, very well, and he's getting paid what a player of his accomplishments, I think, deserves. So, you know, the Jazz, I would like to see him develop some little bit of an offensive game where maybe it's just a little jump hook, something in the lane, because we know that he is limited offensively. He gets a lot of dunks and he gets a lot of high percentage baskets, but he doesn't really have a move, you would say, right now. Now, again, he's 28, so there's still a little bit of time there, but you want to see some sort of offensive improvement, because I think if he can add some little shot to his game, then the Jazz's prospects improve a whole lot. But overall, on the surface, he deserved that contract based on the accomplishments that he's achieved so far in the game. And, you know, he's a loyal guy. He's been with the Jazz the whole time. So it was a show of faith in them. And he was, I think, happy to get that. So I don't really have a problem with it. Some might, but I think that's, considering what contracts are out there right now, he's the highest paid center. This will probably last a year and then someone else will overtake him, because that's what's happening. Everyone's, you know, Giannis was the biggest contract in history and now it's Gobert's, and Davis was a big one. So it's gonna be surpassed. That's more just a sign of the times. But I don't really have a problem. I think that he deserved it, and I think it's the right move from the Jazz.
Yeah, Rudy was quoted as saying, "I want to win, and I feel like leaving this money on the table." Actually saying that part, I think, is interesting. For the team, just to be able to have better talent around me and Donovan was really important. I want to win, and I believe in this group, and I believe in this organization. So he was willing to leave the money on the table for them. Again, a little shocking. You don't hear players say that a lot, Trey. He could have, of course, asked for the 228 and in the end settles for 205. And I think, of course, that's good for the Jazz. You got a little more wiggle room to play with. You're still going to have massive contracts in your two main guys. Yeah. But you have a little bit more wiggle room. And it's actually, I think, sort of in a good way, probably better for Rudy Gobert. Because like Lee said, you know, he's polarizing to some people. Like, really? $200 million player, Rudy Gobert? But at least it's not the super max. Like, I think that would almost do him a disservice in a way. Him giving a discount, I think, sort of helps him in a strange way, maybe in the eyes of some of the casual fans.
So that's what, though? 228 versus 205 over the course of 5 years? That's like $4 million. That's another little role player. Certainly that will help, but I'm kind of with Ty Winter here in the stream team, who says, $200 million and you hope the guy can learn how to score? Huh? It's it's a big deal for Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell are going to end up making between them, what, $450 million? And that's the Jazz's nucleus right there. They got to figure out a way to build around it. They got that extra $4 million. That'll certainly help. I don't have a problem with it right now, though, either, Lee, because Rudy Gobert, at the very worst, he's one of the three best defensive centers in the league. And a defensive center is really the only defense that matters. So you got to pony up for it. They're going to regret it a little bit when he's further into his career and he's, you know, in his early 30s, perhaps slowing down a little. We don't know the aging of tall guys isn't always the smoothest thing, you know, so it wouldn't be surprising if Rudy slows down a little bit over the course of this contract and they're looking to move him eventually. But for now, you got to keep your good players around, especially in a market like Utah. So the Jazz did what they kind of had to do. They got a little bit of a discount. It's all good right now. And the Jazz stay good right now. The Jazz stay in contention right now. The problem will come in the future. As Diggity Danny LaRue always says, it's not the money, it's the years. These years may come back to haunt the Jazz in the future, but we'll worry about that then. You would have never guessed 2020 went like it did, especially for Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, that's right. Tass, anything to add to either Gobert or Kuzma or Markkanen?
Well, it's pretty cool that the Jazz have all made up. Everything is kumbaya there. It was earlier in the season, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, you know, apparently didn't like each other. They didn't talk after the whole ordeal with the coronavirus. So it's great that they're all good. As far as this contract goes with Rudy Gobert, one of the best defensive players in the game, no doubt. You're paying him from 29 to 34. He'll be about 34 by the end of this contract. On the offensive end, he is what he is. I think we're seeing peak Rudy Gobert right now. By the end of this contract, it'll look bad if the Jazz aren't good. It'll look fine if the Jazz have gotten better around him, because Rudy is Rudy. He's not gonna get any better at this point. He'll slow down at some point. But if Donovan Mitchell and Bojan Bogdanovic, who they definitely missed in the bubble, are good around him, then the contract will look palatable. But when you're paying a guy 40 mil, if the team is bad, then it's going to look gross. So it's really Donovan Mitchell continuing to be great, continuing to be awesome, that'll make this contract look better, because we're seeing peak Rudy right now, which is really, really good on one end and not so amazing on the other end. He's not a bucket on the other end, but everybody has to help him out on that end. And that'll tell you if this contract is good. And listen, it is a good sign, and it shows that people can make up and be friends again. Because, you know, there's a great article by Tim McMahon on ESPN when this all went down, after Rudy touched all the mics and, you know, was sort of made the scapegoat for the coronavirus. Everything is good there. He's getting paid, left some money on the table. Now it's up to his teammates to be his buds and to play really, really well.
Yeah, this always comes down to, like, what's the value in defense, right? Because nobody blinks when, let's say, inevitably, like, Trae Young gets paid a supermax, right? Because he's maybe one of the best offensive players in the game. Like, growing into that is what I mean. But then we just said, like, Gobert is that defensively, but, you know, we're hesitant to be like, oh, I don't know. And, you know, Trae, we always have this debate a lot of the time. Like, is it that important? Is it really, really important to have a Gobert?
Well, Skates, as you can tell, everybody actually agrees that offense is more important, which is why when these contracts come up, there's a question about it. But there's not for an offensive guy.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, Trae Young, when he gets the super duper max, everybody's going to say, great move. Yeah. That guy could be an MVP.
Yeah, for sure. But, of course, yeah, we're like, oh, defensively, I don't know. Can you have that big of impact? And he has a hell of an impact, of course, on their defense. So maybe he's one of the rare guys where it is true, and that he's worth that $40 million per year. But let's hear from you guys. And not much to add, I guess, to Kuzma and to Lauri Markkanen, but they're out there. That's the news for you. So let's get to the questions, Stas.
Championship bump is real for the Kuz. Congratulations to him. Hopefully he gets paid in 2023. All right. First cue, we got some doozies here. We're talking beard in the first one. What's up, boys? Man, do I have a trade for y'all. A source close to James Harden recently said he'd be open to Philly or another contender besides the Nets. It was also reported that the Warriors made a call about Harden a few months ago. See where I'm going with this? The trade. Oh yeah, here it comes. Here it comes. The Rockets get rookie James Wiseman, Andrew Wiggins, Minnesota's top three protected pick in the upcoming draft, and a couple of Warriors first rounders, while the Warriors get James Harden. I know I didn't get into the specifics with the picks and it's just the framework, but I'd like to hear an open discussion on this. Indeed, this gives Houston a team with arguably the two worst contracts in the league with Wall and Wiggins. It's arguable. We'll talk about that. But it also gives them an opportunity for a stealth rebuild. Personally, even if the Rockets aren't good with this team, I bet they'd still be fun. Anyways, what do you guys think? Looking forward to blasting No Dunks all season long. Cue the Kid Rock beat. That's from Jack K. What Kid Rock beat?
I think it's a reference to Kid Rock's classic All Summer Long. But for me, that beat will always be the Werewolves of London beat. How dare you, Kid Rock? How dare you steal that so-called beat? Maybe Sweet Home Alabama isn't that. It's kind of like a crossover of all three of those songs, but somehow you call it the Kid Rock beat. Not here. That's Warren Zevon in my book.
Not on No Dunks Watch. All right, so we got a trade here to start us off on Beach Steppin'.
Yeah, so you talk about the Rockets, Mr. Jack, but what about the Warriors? They do not do this. They don't. Even though James Harden is a great, great player, they've got sort of a built-in bridge with this Minnesota pick and James Wiseman and picks already made for them to go into the next iteration beyond Steph Curry. I don't think they demolish that to really screw with their system. James Harden is fantastic, but if there's any other elite, there's no other elite team that shares the ball and is based on movement than the Golden State Warriors. And that would just change the way they play big time. I don't see them just sacrificing the future for this potential iteration of being good. I just don't see it. I don't know if you guys see it, but I don't see them just throwing away their top pick here, their number two pick, And this Minnesota pick and other first rounders, which, you know, doing a little research, they would have at least one to trade. But I just don't think they do it.
That's interesting. Lee, do you agree with that? You don't think the Warriors would want James Harden, or you agree with Tass? Like, they're like, nah, I don't know. We're good.
Well, the Warriors are in win now mode. And if you can get James Harden, yeah. I think, especially considering they've lost Klay Thompson right now, and it's only going to cost you Andrew Wiggins, who I don't think is a long-term part of their future, and then the number two pick, I think you would have made that trade.
Hold on, I thought Andrew Wiggins was going to lead them in score.
He may still. Don't worry about that.
Certain scenarios.
But I'm just saying, Harden, honestly, I would love to see this happen, just to see Draymond Green and James Harden get together. I think it'd be great. But honestly, I think this is actually a move the Warriors would make if they can, because it does give them a legit star to pair alongside Steph, and you would think that James Harden would go there understanding his role would be slightly different, though he would still get plenty of offense, plenty of shots, and plenty of opportunity to score the ball, and plenty of time to go one-on-one as well. So I actually think that if this is on the table, I think the Warriors would make this move, because, again, you're going to give up James Wiseman. Sure, maybe he might be good, but right now, that's not your concern. You've got Steph in his prime. You've got Draymond in his prime. You're missing Klay. You look at some of those other teams as well, like the Nets, who got much better, of course. The Lakers have improved. The Clippers are going to be better. And the Warriors are like, if a player of James Harden's caliber is available, we've got to go and grab him right now. The Warriors have shown that they're prepared to spend the money. I think they go and do this. I think they only traded for Andrew Wiggins, kind of like why they only signed D'Angelo Russell as an asset for a potential deal like this, you know, because they've got the contract now that can match. So I think if the Warriors want it, they can make this happen. And if they do, and if you're the Rockets, I think you would do it as well. I think you get that young pick, you get some future draft picks with that, which they want, and then you're taking the flyer on Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins is going to be a hot potato for a while, but why not? You know, if James Harden wants out and he's gone anyway, that's not a bad package in return.
What do you think, Trey?
Well, the Warriors would do this in a heartbeat, and we should hope that this trade never actually comes to fruition, because we would be back where we were from 2017 to 2019, where the Warriors are the best team in the league with two MVPs and two All-Stars alongside them. This would be a no-brainer for the Warriors to get James Harden for a guy who has never played for him, and Andrew Wiggins, the guy we're talking about, is maybe the worst contract in the league. By the way, worst contract in the league, I hate to say it, it might be Klay Thompson. He's signed to a monster deal right now, and he's going to be missing two straight seasons. We have no idea how he's going to come back. Everybody assumes he'll age nicely, but if the Warriors were offered James Harden for James Wiseman, come on, that's an easy move, and they would be the best team in the league right away.
Yeah, it's not just James Wiseman. It's their whole vault of assets. It's everything they have.
Yeah.
It's not just James Wiseman or Andrew Wiggins or the Minnesota first-round pick.
Yeah,
it's
but plus they got Harden. They would have Harden for two seasons after this. They've already got Steph Curry locked up. They've got Draymond locked up. They've got Klay locked up when he eventually does come back. I mean,
and it's going to be fun playing those three guys together. Yeah, it's. I don't see them doing it.
Well, they're not going to do it because I don't think that the Rockets would offer this. But I mean, what's really the difference, James Harden and Kevin Durant throwing them into that system? It would be the exact same. They're trying to win as many titles as they can with Curry and Draymond Green. Adding an MVP, that helps.
Well, Kevin Durant's fine moving off the ball a little bit. James Harden is not. And that Kevin Durant was in his 20s when they made this trade, and Harden is not at this point.
Yeah. I mean, it all depends how high they are on James Wiseman and a high, in theory, pick that they're getting from Minnesota next year. And I don't know what that draft class is like. Everybody says it's amazing. But I'm with Lee and TK. Like, if this is here, then they want to win now, because they got Curry, you know, getting up there in years. You're getting another MVP. They're like, I think they would add him instantaneously for this deal. I mean, if it's just Wiggins as really the only player,
they're already paying Kelly Oubre $80 million this year because
well, they don't
Oubre.
Care. They've got mad Harden, money. Yeah.
Yeah. You can go build another arena with the money, the luxury tax they have to pay for James Harden and being in the repeater tax. You could literally build another Chase Center beside it with the money. That would be like a couple $100 million. I'm not a diggity Danny LaRue, but the money is ridiculous that they would be paying out for a fine team.
Good thing Joe Lacob is super rich. He could totally afford it.
Yeah.
Anybody can afford it, sure.
Well, you just don't sound that high on the of what would happen on the floor, Tass. Like, that's what I'm getting from you here. Like, you're not convinced Curry, Harden, and then Draymond with no Klay, like this year, let's say, is like an automatic like title contender, I guess, or winning it, right? That's it. You're skeptical.
Yeah, they'd be up there. I don't think they're a title contender. I don't think.
So let's hear from the people out there, the stream teamers, everybody listening, tweet at us. Look, it won't really matter, this hypothetical trade, because it's probably not going to happen. One, I don't think the Rockets would like to send Harden to a Western Conference team. I think they would prefer to send him to the East. And also, I'm convinced, guys. I don't know if you saw my tweet. I thought a Harden trade was happening for sure over this weekend, and then I caught myself. I said, no, it won't happen over the weekend. It'll happen as soon as we record the Beach Steppin' podcast on Monday. As soon as we wrap up, say, all right, guys, we'll see you tomorrow. Getting ready for the season. It'll happen, you know, 15, 20 minutes. You'll see the Shams or the Woj tweet that Harden's been traded to either the Nets or the Sixers or something like that. So it's about to happen is what I'm getting at. In about an hour, James Harden is going to be traded. Murphy's Law, Lee. I'm telling you, man.
It's true. It happens all the time. It happens especially those first couple of years at the starters when we're a little bit earlier on NBA TV and the news would break late in the afternoon. Every time.
It's infuriating. But maybe we'll have an emergency podcast when Harden gets traded later today as I'm calling my shot here. All right, our next question. Morning, fellas. As a lifelong fan of the NBA, I've always had a way of watching games. Growing up, my parents paid for cable TV, and as an adult, I also paid for cable. But I have cut the cord in the last couple of years here. Now it seems to be the only way to catch games is by League Pass, which is $35 plus per month, Hulu Live, which increased to $69 plus per month, nice, or Sling, $30 plus per month. And then bundling more than one of those subscriptions if you also want to see local games. So my question is this. With the season being shorter, not all teams playing each other. Well, not really technically true. But guys probably missing games due to COVID and rest and the rising price of watching games. Is this the season to sit out viewing games and consume the NBA solely through podcasts and online highlights? Thanks for all the hours of entertainment. And I hope you guys are staying safe out there. That's from Eddie. In Chicago.
Eddie Winslow?
Eddie Olchuk, I thought maybe.
Eddie Balfour?
So, an interesting question. Like, Lee, you know, he's making the case, all this stuff, you start adding it up, trying to catch all these games, it costs a fortune. Is this the year that Eddie should just listen to No Dunks and watch the YouTube highlights? I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, spend your money on some No Dunks merch. That'd be nice, Eddie. But honestly, this would have to be the biggest fear for the NBA right now because of everything that's happened in the last couple of years and especially this year with cord cutting. That's absolutely happening. And then COVID this year, people are trying to save a little bit of money. People are feeling the pinch a little bit.
Yep.
But also, this is something David Stern spoke about a couple of years ago. He said that the NBA is actually making it too easy for people to not have to watch entire games anymore because there are just so many highlights out there on YouTube and House of Highlights and Twitter and Facebook everywhere. And when you see something like, for example, LaMelo Ball had an incredible pass on the weekend, like that goes viral. Everyone's watching that. But people aren't tuning into games for as long as they were in the past. And Ethan Strauss had a couple of articles over the summer talking about this as well, how you know, the actual TV viewership is changing, shifting, because people consume games in a totally different way now than we used to, you know, 15 or 20 years ago. Everyone's on their device, everyone's on their phone, but people don't necessarily watch games as they used to on TV because you can get the highlights and the things that people are talking about so easily. So, you know, it's definitely a concern. And I'm not sure how the league can now sort of put this genie back in a bottle either, because you only have to go to the YouTube channel on the NBA's page and they have recaps of games of 10 minutes long. It's that condensed version, which is a great way to sort of watch a game if you missed it. Now, if you're a hardcore fan of a team like the Raptors or the Bulls or you guys, you know, a lot of people tend to watch their teams play most of a game, but they're not necessarily watching full length games of other teams anymore. And I think that's something that has changed a lot. So, this is a real issue that the NBA is facing with, especially if they are making it harder for people to watch games in terms of how they have to pay for them as well. And there was Tim Cato had an article as well. There's a situation out there in Dallas where local games are blacked out, and then the provider is in dispute with one of the other networks about getting.
It can
games
be
up.
A mess in some of these local networks.
And the thing is, I think what you find, especially now, considering there are so many choices of things to watch. If you lose a fan and they get taken up by something else, it could be hard to reel them back in, especially if their team isn't playing well and is not going to make the playoffs. So this is definitely a big concern for the NBA, not just the NBA. I think across all leagues as well. So, Eddie, you know, I hope you can figure out a way to make it happen, but I can certainly understand if people are sort of tuning out a little bit this season as far as watching games live on TV.
So here's what we do. We just take a 48-minute basketball game. We just make it 10 minutes, and you tell the guys, hey, only highlights. Okay, that's all you're doing out there. All right, no fundamental, no very solid plays. Get rid of all that crap. It's all highlights. Okay, go for 10 minutes. And that's the live game that we just put that up. But what do you think, Trey, about Eddie's dilemma here with, you know, again, trying to package all these subscriptions and then how do you watch your local game, all that stuff?
As long as Eddie's listening and doing... to no dunks, he's going to be happy this NBA season. That's the important thing, but you got to do it all. You got to listen to podcasts, you got to watch highlights, and you got to watch full games. You just miss things if you're not watching the full games. I don't know how he wants to do it. He's mentioning all these costs. There are other ways out there. If he were interested in consuming some streams, if he wanted to hop on a different stream team, but I don't know. For me, I'm always going to love watching full games. I'm always going to love watching lots of full games. I prefer that to flipping, and I'd rather watch a full game and then catch up on the highlights and the one I miss. But just stay subscribed to No Dumps. No Dumps? Stay subscribed to No Dunks on Twitter, on YouTube, on Instagram, on Podbean, on Apple, on Spotify, wherever you listen to the classics. It doesn't matter as long as you're listening to the classics.
No, I've got bad news, Freddie. We're going to start charging $99 to listen to No Dunks for the season.
Okay.
Good for you, bad for Eddie. I'm kidding.
I know a guy.
Yeah, Tass, what do you think about, again, Eddie's dilemma?
I think Eddie's biggest dilemma is the dilemma of the modern consumers, that the subscriptions are piling up. I get it. You look at one thing. Oh, yeah. I need Apple TV Plus. Yeah, I need that. Oh, I need Netflix. Oh, I need that. Then they all start to pile up. I think what Eddie needs to do, hit the bank account, check what you can cut, ///, because sports are going to be there. Live sports are still extremely juicy for consumers. I think the decline in ratings in 2020 was across the board. It wasn't just the NBA. It's just a weird freaking year. But at the same time, the NBA knows that people are starting to go elsewhere for highlights, and that's why they started putting up 10-minute recaps of games. They didn't need to do that. So I think they're on, you know, ahead of the curve a little bit. But I've even in this preseason, I've consumed highlights, and it's just not fun the same way it is to watch a game. Like, if you watched two nights ago, if you watched LaMelo Ball's incredible pass via highlight, you'd say, well, this guy's amazing. He's the next Jason Kidd. He's the next Magic Johnson. But if you watch the game, you realize he struggles. So don't be that guy. Don't be that guy who just thinks LaMelo Ball is awesome because he had one highlight. He's going to come off the bench this year to start. Good move, James Borrego. He's got to come along a little bit. So you don't really feel the game unless you watch, you know, a good chunk of it. And then you can tune out late in the fourth quarter if you need to, if the game's over, if the Hornets are getting blown out. But, you know, I think live sports are still going to be in people's living rooms, and people are still going to consume it. I just think that's the way it's going to go. And the ratings, it was a snapshot of a weird freaking year. And when things get back to normal, you know, ratings will get back closer to normal for everybody. But things are going online. I mean, that's just the way they are. It's not... people aren't just consuming games on TV anymore.
All right. Just listen to No Dunks, Eddie. But keep us posted. I want to know what you end up going with. Are you going Hulu, or are you going League Pass, or are you going Sling? What is your option there? But that's a great point, Tess. I remember when people started cutting the cord, right? Because you were paying what felt like a ridiculous amount of money for your cable package, let's be honest. And then you have, like, feels like 100 channels you never even watch. Like, what am I doing? So then you get this idea of, like, this a la carte, like, option where I get to pick this and I get to pick that and I get to pick, oh, that makes more sense. But then it just starts adding up, and it's like, this ends up costing me more than what I actually had when it felt like I had everything, I guess. It is funny. I remember thinking that too. I'm like, okay, I should just get rid of this. This is ridiculous what I'm paying. And I did. I ultimately did. And, you know, we've got like the AT&T TV thing and all the other, half the other subscriptions you've already named and stuff like that. And eventually we'll get League Pass because I want to watch these games too. But the truth is, Lee, too, most people are watching their favorite team, whatever that is. They're trying to watch a majority, I assume, of those games. And then I assume they're watching, you know, the national games. And that is where it can be difficult, I think, to get those. Like, you're going to want to watch your TNT games and maybe your ESPNs and stuff like that. Otherwise, you're not watching, like, 20 teams nightly, you know what I mean?
No, I know, but the thing is with the NBA is the hardcore fans, fine, we're going to watch game after game after game, but you can't afford to lose the casual fan. That's my point. And because there are so many other choices out there for people to watch, and that's what the NBA has to really make sure that they hold on to and keep those people engaged as much as you can. Because that's the thing. If you go, it's people just find.
Well, but they've made the calculated decision. Like, yeah, to keep them engaged means give them 10-minute highlights.
Give them a bunch
of Twitter highlights. Give them all that, and because they're not going to watch a Hornets full game.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I get that, and that's the thing. That's why the NBA saw what other people were doing. You know, we used to watch Zemo Pierto on YouTube. Remember, he used to put up those things, and they had hundreds of thousands of views immediately. Yeah. So the NBA realized, okay, we got to get that. But the point I was making earlier is that this is what David Stern was saying is. The NBA, when Adam Silver first came in, he was like, we love all this stuff out there because it's great promotion for the game. But ultimately, as well, it kind of backfired in a way because people then weren't necessarily tuning in to the actual NBA product themselves to watch it. And, so that was costing them money.
Yeah.
Speaking of costing them money, listen, I'm worried about Matty Austin, as Ty Winter brings up here on the stream team. Too much media to consume. Long live Matty O. Matty O is probably paying a subscription to everything. He's got LinkedIn Plus or LinkedIn Connected or whatever that is. You know, he's paying for everything. I worry about his bank account. Cut the subscriptions, everybody. One-time fees, that's fine. One-time fee for a No Dunk shirt, that's cool. But watch out for those subscriptions.
I heard Matty O single-handedly kept Quibi open for 2 more weeks than it should have been. Watching all of it.
That's the thing, though, with the subscriptions. Like, we've got Netflix and Amazon Prime. And yesterday, watching Home Alone 2 with the boys, you know, it's another $4 on top of it. Or you can buy it for $10. Like, I thought, you know, it's like free with Amazon Prime. But once you get into Amazon Prime, you then got to pay again for everything. It's like, okay, so it's not really, you know, included in Amazon Prime, is it? You know? You're always just got to pay an extra few bucks here and there.
I always thought it was ridiculous when you would go to the video rental store and they'd be like, hey, you got to pay for that movie that you're going to be borrowing.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I thought they should have a few freebies in there.
It would be like the equivalent of like, I got a Blockbuster card and I get 10 free rentals with it at first or something like that.
But, yeah, you used to get the card. Remember, we used to get the card in a Blockbuster and your 10th movie was free. But
that's right. That's true.
All right, next one here. No Danka. Inspired by the fact that Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are now living together, you guys nailed it with your idea for a new reality TV series, NBA Sleepover. Yeah, we talked about this rumor that they were living together. Written and directed by Matt Austin, this raucous affair will feature odd couples and friends from around the association. Look out for all new episodes featuring Indiana's current and former head coaches, Mates with Nates, the two JDs starring James Dolan and No Dunks' very own Jason Doyle, or our favorite, the Holiday Coaches Special, Christmas Eve with the Steves, hosted by Steve Kirby, father of Trey. Wow. Who would star in your fave episode of NBA Sleepover, and what would you name this episode? Burn up Blunts and Pies Sauces. That is from longtime fans Stav and Fee in Sydney. So NBA Sleepover, heck of an idea.
Yeah, it's great.
$5 an episode. Let's do it.
Yeah, JD, what do you think about that? Yeah, we could get that up on all the streaming services. NBA Sleepover. Yeah. You're a fan?
Sure. I'm a fan, except I'm not a fan of my episode. I have to be with James Dolan.
You guys can jam out. You on the drums, him on, I don't know, does he play guitar? I guess he does.
Maybe, I don't know.
He fake plays it.
I'd rather eat glass.
Okay. All right, so we won't be seeing the two JDs. We'll not be streaming on Hulu for $3.99 in the foreseeable future. I got a couple suggestions. I really like I like theirs, but one, I don't know who specifically. Maybe Sean Kemp, because he just opened a marijuana dispensary, I guess, up in Seattle. But I just want to call it Karaoke Toki, and where we break out the karaoke machine and we smoke some weed and we sing some songs. I just think it's a fun name. I can't believe that's not a real show already. Karaoke Toki, hosted by Sean Kemp. Couple others. In honor of the Nigerian big man, who's no longer with us, but Truth or Yinka Dare? Bit of a force, but you play a little Truth or Dare.
Shout out to Matt Austin. Sometimes you got to come up with the name before you come up with the idea.
That's right. But this one, this is the best one. NBA Sleepover. I want a show where we build indoor forts with pillows and blankets and the furniture, and we just call it Dorts Forts. That one would be a good episode. So that's what I got. I don't know if you guys got anything else.
That's pretty good. The only one I would add, Skeets, I want to call my show Jimmy and James. We put Jimmy Butler and James Harden in a house together, and it's a real, it's a fun odd couple story because Harden always wants to party. Jimmy always wants to work hard and be the man. James says, let's go to the strip club. Jimmy says, let's go to the coffee shop. James says, let's go shopping. Jimmy says, let's go fishing. James says, hey, let's go party with Lil Baby. Jimmy says, let's go to the gym with Mark Wahlberg. These guys disagree on everything, but they almost have the same name, but not really, because it's Jimmy, not James, on Jimmy and James.
I like it. That's a good one.
I've also got a Jimmy Butler, so I'll just jump in here. Jimmy Butler and his new teammate, Precious Achiuwa. It's just simply called Ain't That Precious. Okay. When Jimmy Butler is playing basketball at 3 a.m., Precious wakes up and he says, you play ball, you're practicing at 3 a.m.? Ain't that precious. Basically, it's just scene after scene after scene of them saying to each other, ain't that precious.
Okay.
Precious, I got a Butler, too.
Wow.
Sir Robert Covington and his butler, Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy, please, may I have a coffee, please? Absolutely, sir. That'll be $20. Thank you.
Yes.
So it's like the Crown or something like that.
It's like more of a Downton Abbey type of vibe.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
Also, I got a nice alliteration. Bam and pow. Mixing it up. That's it. That's all it is.
And they watch or like read comic books to each other.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Batman.
Yeah. Lee, got anything?
Not as good as those. Mine's really only a 2-episode series. It's called Sleep Over and Over. It's me sleeping over with Irsan Ilyasova and then Matthew Dellavedova.
Okay. Nice. I like it.
Very nice.
I really like it. Okay, great suggestions. I'm sure you guys have more. Tweet them in at No Dunks Inc. Let us know in the stream team. You guys will let me know if we get any good ones. We can circle back later. All right, next question here, though. Greetings, gentlemen. Longtime listener from the UK. One of my favorite NBA-isms is the concept of good defense, better offense, which got me thinking, who is in the good D, better O Hall of Fame? Now, obvious candidates are your Jordans and your Kobes, but who else, past or present, deserves a shout-out? Cheers. That's from Harvey, again, in the UK. So, good D, better O, Hall of Fame. Trey, what do you think?
I love it. That's my basketball philosophy. Defense, it can only take you so far because some people can hit some amazing shots. My good defense, but better offense guy was in the Twitter sphere a lot over the weekend. You don't think of him as a lights-out scoring offensive player, but he would be very frustrating to try and guard because you think you have it when suddenly you get dink and dumped by Tim Duncan. Go back and watch the shot where Derek Fisher beats the Spurs on this crazy last-second shot because on the play before, Tim Duncan hits the most ridiculous fall-away 17-footer off 1 foot, one-handed, somehow goes in, he drains it. It seemed like there were so many times when Tim Duncan, you would have him stopped, and it looked like he was going nowhere. He'd just throw the ball up in the hoop, and it would bounce 58,000 times on the rim and then drop softly through. It would be so frustrating because, I don't know, a guy like Kevin Garnett, I remember, said that it was so hard to guard Tim Duncan because he was like trying to move a tree. Like, he was so big that you were trying to move a tree, and then suddenly he's got incredible touch just to throw it up. He would always find a way to get the shot on the rim or on the glass, and then it would just kind of ding, 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 and drop in. Imagine how frustrating that would be to see this garbage-looking shot go up on the rim, and it goes in like 70% of the time. You think you got Tim Duncan stopped, and suddenly he's banking you to death. No, thank you.
That's a great addition to the good D, better O Hall of Fame. Lee, you got one?
Well, it's Steph for me. I mean, when you think about when the Warriors exploded onto the scene a few years ago and Steph had a couple of those crazy plays, particularly that one against the Clippers. Remember where he was sort of dancing through the four of them and then just threw the ball up? Even Steve Kerr was kind of like, nah, what? And then it just drains in beautifully. I think that just sort of shows what Steph's done. And he's the one who's really extended the three-point range to where everyone, like you see guys now, like everyone shooting from 5-10 feet behind the line. And I think Steph was the first one to really make that a regular shot in his rotation. You know, he would come down and again, in those 15 and 16 seasons where Steph was just pulling up from like that far out and people were like, that's a bad shot. And he was just making them regularly. And now, now you see Damian Lillard just before a game from half court shooting them as if he's just shooting basically free throws. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that's something that's really changed a lot of in the NBA in the last, you know, 5 to 6 years, largely because of Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm. When, by the way, good D Bettero is one of my favorite things to yell when playing pickup basketball. Like, I like when someone is trying to, like, lock up Kirby, let's say, and I'm on Kirby's team, and they like, it's good defense, and someone on their team will be like, good defense, and then you score on them. I love dropping a Bettero, better offense, whatever. I love it. I think it's the best thing to say back to somebody that's just dropped a good defense. I think it's so
I just love
fun.
Scoring on guys who think they're playing good defense.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. I go to that one a lot. Tass, do you have someone to throw into this Hall of Fame?
No, you guys covered all the good
that's
ones.
All of them. I actually thought it was a bit of a confusing question, if I'm being honest. I like Trey's answer. Even like yours, Lee, of course Steph Curry is an incredibly gifted offensive player. But does he have to be good on D, or is you're saying the defense was good on him, but it doesn't matter because he's an elite offensive player?
Well, that's what I sort of viewed it as like the defense. Because there are times where you look at Steph and it's like, oh, the defender's right there. And then all of a sudden he just gets off a beautifully uncontested shot and it just floats through and you're like, oh, what else can you do? You know?
Yeah. And then that works for the Duncan in comparison too. And even MJ and Kobe, you could play in theory good defense on them and they would still, you know, rise up and tough fadeaway and stuff like that. So
one of my favorite good D better O moments of the past, I don't know, 5 years was Kyrie Irving against the Bucks. Remember, like, Brogdon stops him at the free throw line and it's like, all right, you're going nowhere, Kyrie. And then he has this like reverse spin move back to shoot in the lane and he just drops it right over him. I don't know. It's one of Kyrie's moves. He's in the good D, but better O Hall of Fame for me as well.
Yeah, yeah. The initial stop is there. You moved your feet, and you're like, you think you've locked him up, and he's, you got another trick in his bag.
Got a counter.
What's up, No Punks? I was thinking about how Louisville almost had the Toronto Raptors play their home games at the Yum Center. I was really excited when I heard about this because I felt once it got going, the NBA would realize Louisville would be a great place for basketball. We have such a rich culture thanks to our two great college teams, University of Louisville and University of Kentucky. I believe once they saw how successful it was, it would have to put us first in line in the future to maybe have our own team. I do understand why they decided not to play here, but it made me think, what is a time you wish something had come to fruition because you knew it would have been successful, but it ultimately never happened? Turntables, sausage pies. Awesome. That's from Zach in Louisville, Kentucky. Yes, there was a quick chatter about the Raptors not playing in Tampa, but playing in Louisville, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And I get what you're saying, Zach. A lot of college ball down here. I'm taking it off the court here for my something that nearly came to fruition. Oh, man. For me, Danielle, my wife, had a bakery once upon a time. It's called Moo Milk Bar, Milk and Cookie Shop. And around this time of year, it got me thinking, we used to buy eggnog and then just repackage it and sell it. didn't make it at all. Eggnog is hard to make. It's hard to make good. Usually people are disgusted by the idea of eggnog at all. But we used to get this one that was absolutely amazing. It was fresh. It was delicious. And I thought Danielle should make it into an ice cream somehow. Mm-hmm. Making it into an ice cream. I'm not a big ice cream man, but put it between two cookies, and I love an ice cream sandwich. So I wanted an eggnog ice cream sandwich some way, somehow. Danielle wasn't into it, though. It was, she said, hey, it's winter. It's freezing here. No one's going to have an ice cream sandwich. And I said, I don't care. Just make a batch for me. Right. I'll throw it in between two wheels, and I'll have a good time. I just need one pie. Give me one sandwich, and I'll be happy. But it didn't happen. It is weird. I don't know if you ever had a good eggnog, but it's so different than crappy eggnog. Because crappy eggnog is the standard stuff. Nobody cares about it. It's in a carton. It's been sitting on shelves. It's disgusting. But when it's fresh from a farm, it's life-changing. It is good. It is really, 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 really good.
Was it legal what you were doing? Can you buy a product and then just flip repackage nog? It? I'm just curious. Like, is that?
That's what everybody does.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Everywhere.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, Trader Joe's, like, is all, yeah, that's not, they're not making it. They're just buying it and then repackaging it as Trader Joe's cookies or whatever. I guess so. I never thought of that. All right. Eggnog. I would try an eggnog ice cream sandwich. I would.
And that does sound good, but I do understand Danielle's point because I was thinking, hey, yeah, what? It's 50 degrees outside. I need an ice cream sandwich, but maybe a little different in the winter in Toronto.
In Toronto? Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little colder. A little colder. Mm-hmm. But I mean, yeah, I would have liked to see how that would do in the summer, right?
Sure, bring it back, Christmas in July. Tassie, what kind of cookies would you go with? for that eggnog sandwich?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'd say throw in all the holidays altogether, a mini eggs cookie.
Ooh.
Wow.
From Easter. Yeah.
Easter, my goodness.
Double eggs.
It's a holiday cookie.
Ice cream sandwich, I like it.
Well, you need to move down to Australia in the Southern Hemisphere where it is summer at Christmas time, so that eggnog sandwich would kill it down there.
No doubt. No
eggnog doubt. Sandwich.
You could get like a little thing, push around on the beach, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Sell those for the dozens. Do you have an answer for this, Lili?
Well, actually, speaking of Australia, it was last calendar year when the Team USA went out to Melbourne to play a couple of games. And I was trying to get the whole Stardust crew out there to do some live shows, or at least do one live show. And unfortunately, that sort of those plans fell apart when our contract wasn't renewed. So we weren't going out. I went out there anyway myself. But being out there in Melbourne, and I was like, okay, this is interesting. Now that I'm here, how would I feel differently about it? Because I remember saying to you guys we would have a big, big live show. No question we would get a big audience there for it.
Yeah.
And now when I was back there, I was like, I wonder if I was overestimating that or not. And then when I went to those couple of games, and even before those games, just around the city, like a few people stopped me and recognized me. You know, yeah, sure, humble brag, cool story, bro. But the thing was, being at those games, there were so many Stardust fans.
Right.
And I was like, oh, man, this would have been huge. This would have been massive. If
so what, 40,000, 50,000 we could have done?
Oh, yeah, probably somewhere in that. No, honestly, I think 5,000, we could have sold out a 5,000-seat venue because we would have been able to get guests for it. It would have been great. It would have been a good two-hour show. Right in the heart of the city.
2 hour show, what you're calling the length of the show?
Oh, well, easily would have been 2 hours easily with the guests. I just know we could have gotten them, and it would have been so much fun.
What kind of guests are we getting?
Yeah.
We're getting some local celebrities, some big name players, and we probably would have gotten one player.
Do you want to name
which ones, though?
Yeah.
I don't want to go into names right now, but I've got them all picked ready to go because I'm not giving up on this idea.
Okay.
I'm actually not giving up on this idea. I do think it can still happen because at first, I was like, oh, man, now that the games have gone, it's not going to happen. I'm like, hang on a minute. Why can't it just happen anyway? We could go out to Melbourne anytime and do the show. And it'd be a hit. So I'm actually, you know, it's somewhere in the plans down the future. I mean, everything's screwed up right now, so who knows? But man, it would have been so good. I was there in Melbourne. I was like, man, this is a huge what if. I mean, we started making a little bit of progress there, but not enough.
Well, at one point, like the I don't know, the Victoria Tourism Board was going to pay for us to go.
Well, yeah,
that was on
that's what we were working on. Yeah. It was going to be great. You're going to have a great family
trip as
well. Come on,
Qantas, step up. Let's go.
Yeah, Qantas or Virgin Australia. It doesn't really matter. I mean, anyone could have gotten on board there, but it would have been great to take those of us who have kids, take the kids out for a trip as well, spend 3 weeks out in Australia. You would have had a ball.
3 weeks, all right.
Yeah.
Quite a trip.
Somebody mentions Nathan Jawai in the comments.
Well,
he would have been on the show.
Former Raptor Nathan Jawai. I think he's playing in the NBL. Yeah, no, look, I had a few other guests lined up. Don't worry, there's some juicy names out there.
Don't spoil it, because it's going to happen.
Exactly.
2021, we're doing it.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Maybe 2022.
Yeah.
Maybe 23.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a thing. Who knows? Everything they're almost the coronavirus was out in Australia and now it's back in. I don't know what's going on. But
we gotta
anyway.
Go to New Zealand. No, they're the only one that has it under control, right?
Maybe that's a good idea. Maybe we go to go and see the Kiwis.
All right, it's great. Trey, do you have an answer for this question?
There was a time when we were doing the starters where it really seemed like we were going to get to play 4-on-4 versus inside the NBA.
Yes,
we would have beat them, guaranteed. I think you can lock that one in. Yes. They are three former NBA players, but we're in our athletic primes. Not really, but
no,
at least
we're
closer. We're a little closer to our athletic primes, and I have a feeling that we probably would have taken it a little more seriously than Shaq and Kenny and Charles. I think Ernie would have 100% brought it. Yeah. You know, Ernie would have been throwing bows out there, but we would have been able to get him in the cage. Where we thrive.
My answer is similar. It's you know, they were cowards. They didn't want to put us in the celebrity all-star game. If we had been in it, we would have put on a show. Ratings would have went through the roof. Everybody would have been watching the next year. One of us would have got MVP, but they were afraid. They knew we would dominate. They knew it. So similar answer to what you had there, TK. What were you about to say, Lee?
Well I agree that it would have been fun to play those guys, but I remember seeing Shaq in a sort of pickup game only about a year or so before that. And he was just at the, I don't care anymore. No one's calling fouls, and just throwing dudes around.
Someone would have got hurt.
And that would have been the problem, no doubt.
Yeah. That's that would have been awesome. Because, I'd love to have that on my resume.
If maybe we had hit the first two shots of the game, these guys would have been like, we're not losing to these guys. And then Shaq would have just been like, I'm throwing bows. I don't care. What are they going to do?
Yeah, we would have been screwed. If Shaq was going to start taking it somewhat seriously,
Charles, like 1% seriously. Charles. We would have been in trouble.
Like Charles, we see he's got a bit of a limp these days. He's not as active as he was. Kenny's still in pretty good shape and can still shoot.
Yeah.
But Shaq was the one I was just worried, like, someone just going to get a, you know, smack in the nose or and Shaq won't care. He won't care.
No, you're playing hoops and fair enough, right?
Yeah.
If the challenge was made, then let's play physical ball. Yeah.
The support stanchion for the hoop is very close to the actual rim. Somebody would have definitely gotten clocked.
Mm-hmm. Too bad. Maybe one day we could still make that game happen. You never know. All right. Our next question here. Hello, No Dunks. This is 15-year-old Thomas from Lombard, Illinois. Oh, yeah. Currently in Lima, Peru, writing in.
What a connection.
Yeah, I know. Who is this person? Towards the end of last season, I realized that you had done an incredible feat. Over 350 classics within about a calendar year. Something never witnessed before by humankind. I wanted to commemorate this accomplishment through a drawing. I know I'm not an amazing drawer, but I feel like I was able to capture the raw strangeness of No Dunks in 1920 on this piece of paper. For all the stream teamers or anybody watching later on YouTube, we're showing Thomas's incredible artwork here. So detailed. It's got all of us on there, all these like little inside jokes. I think it's extremely well done. I love this. Totally. So thank you for sending it in. We posted to our socials too if you want to go check that out. Anyway, he has
my buddy Grish is so jealous of this right now.
Yeah.
He would have loved to come up with this collage.
Yeah, he could not. No chance he could have done this. Anyway, when have you guys been completely in awe of someone else's achievement, and have you ever tried to honor those glorious triumphs, in any way? Again, that's from Thomas. Thank you so much for that artwork there. That is fantastic stuff. Tex, you got an answer for this.
Tomas, you are the man. Yeah, he's been a longtime fan here. Young 15.
He's only 15. How's he been?
Since
listening
he was
five. In the womb. Yeah.
Yeah, in the womb. Thank you so much for emailing that in. For me, I realized this week that the Greek baseball team has a Twitter account. I didn't think that Greece played baseball anymore. They had an Olympics baseball team in 2004.
Right.
And because they were the host country, they had to put a team out there. Yeah. So they got second generation Americans that, you know, weren't on the American team, but could jump over to the Greek team because they had some Greek ties. So I noticed, Kevin Youkilis, Ziggy Star Fox in the team stream coming up with names there. People like that played. But this week I realized they had a Twitter account and they're selling hats. Mm. A Greek baseball hat. And I almost made the purchase. Oh, you're seeing nice. It right now.
Oh,
it's a sweet hat.
It is.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's a solid blue. But basically everything I buy now is solid blue. And I would just be buying a hat I wouldn't wear. So I didn't make the purchase, although I probably will one day. And now it's in my head. I'm definitely going to buy it.
You got to get it.
Yeah, I can rock that. But what I also wanted to show you, everybody on the team stream, was this Steppin' on the Beach hat, one of one.
Yep.
Thanks to our man Oscar Pope back at Turner, who made these prototypes. They never hit the shelves, but I do have a one of one. I think Lee also has a hat of himself with his two thumbs that never made the shelves. But this Steppin' on the Beach, baby, it matches the colors
good.
Almost.
Sure.
Yeah, we're vibing here. We're pinking.
Well, Trey had the pocket dogs too, which I think we should actually bring back at some point. I love that little pocket dog logo for sure.
Yeah, there's I don't know. We made 6 or 7 different hats, and there's maybe 15 total of them. And I don't actually remember who has most of them. Now I'll see it show up on one of our friends' Instagrams every once in a while. I'll be like, oh, yeah, the starters finals hat. Nice.
Yeah. Graydon Gordian's got a pocket dog hat. I know.
Oh, yeah. I got a shirtless picture of him rocking the pocket dog. Pocket dog and brownies. Thanks for supporting the team.
Okay, Trey, do you have an answer for this question?
Hey, if you win a reality show and you like No Dunks, we're putting you on the show to talk about it because we like reality TV. We already mentioned it off the top. Wendell from Survivor had him on the show. Awesome guest. Really fun podcast. Same with Peter on The Great British Bake Off. We just got to figure out what other No Dunks fans happen to be on reality shows. Mm. Is there anybody out there who's, you know, got a great voice on The Voice? Lee will talk to you about winning The Voice.
Yeah.
Yes, I would. I would love to. I haven't really been watching it too much lately, although a friend of mine, you guys might remember, there was a guy who came into our studio one time and he brought in a crate of beer. You remember
yes,
that?
Yes. Yeah.
His brother finished third in The Voice last year, last season.
The American version.
Yeah,
wow,
the American holy. Voice. Yeah, yeah. So that was incredible stuff. But
I thought you were going to talk about that. Did you? You brought in a friend, a Peruvian pole vaulter or high jumper?
A high jumper, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
My friend Alfredo. He was at the 2004 Olympics, actually, Chas. Believe it or not. I was there. You were there. He was there. What a great trio that is.
the cool story just keeps getting cooler and cooler. Man,
any Olympic athlete, you're awesome.
Yeah. I remember, you know, as well, talking about the Greek baseball team, I was always like, that's just so dumb to make that because there's no tradition, there's no history, no one cares. Even if they were to win gold medal, it'd be like, oh, okay, great. We've put a whole 12 months of work into this effort and it's won and we're going to forget about it because it's just not a national thing. You know what I mean? Like the Olympics.
I think it would be a pretty big story in Greece if the Greek baseball team, for the first time ever playing, won the gold medal. Like,
we practiced for a year and we won the gold medal and we're dropping it.
But that's what I'm saying. Most people, like most Greeks, would be like, oh, we won baseball. I didn't even know we had a team. Oh, great. It might inspire
more people to take up the sport or get interested in the sport.
Yeah, it's still happening now. It's like if America took up cricket.
America should take up cricket because they would do very well at it, actually.
Okay, well.
And that's why, that's a part of the reason why 2020 cricket has been invented, because it's a shorter version of the game, which should appeal to America. A lot of home runs, we call them sixes in cricket, in 2020 cricket. And it's a way of compacting the game, because 5 days, people say, oh my God, 5 days, how do you watch that? Even though you watch baseball 160 games a year, oh my God. God,
right.
Give it a rest. But this 2020 is a lot more fun. And that's another thing we could do out in Australia. We go to a 2020 cricket match. You guys have a ball.
Yeah, but I heard what's happening is a lot of people are just watching the cricket highlights now, and they're following cricket Twitter. And I think Ethan Sherwood-Strauss has an article coming out about it later today.
Well, funny you say that, because there is like an 8 to 10 minute recap after each day's play on YouTube, and it is great. Yeah.
Right. To watch. Yeah.
I hope cricket comes up in the U.S. so they could give Greece their baseball players back. Come on, Greeks, get back. Actually, the Greeks have a team, surprisingly, thanks to the Twitter account. I found out, and a women's softball team. They play sports. They don't have a cricket team.
So how the hell did we get off on this game? But what were you about to say there, Lee?
I don't remember.
What was your answer?
Oh, my answer. My answer was actually like Peter was incredible, because I remember when you guys started talking about him and referenced how he had sent in a cake to the old starter show and that he was on this show.
Right.
And it was just so awesome that he actually went on to win this show, which was incredible. And then when you had the podcast there with him, it was what a humble, young, beautiful man. what a great guy. I mean, I haven't got anything to do to inspire myself to acknowledge his achievement there, but I was just like, this is incredible. A 20-year-old kid who's won a big, big show like that, because that show, the amount of engagement we had on that show was incredible. People watch that more than they want to hear us talk about basketball. They want to
Of course.
So I just thought that was awesome to watch.
In a weird way, do you feel like you won also the Great British Bake Off, Lee, because you inspired Peter to go out there and cake his face off?
Well, not for that reason, but more just like, it was like when we had Wendell. No, but like I was going for Wendell in Survivor. It was kind of like, that's my guy. I'm going for him, you know, and he fell short. But to see Peter go all the way was like, yes, we did it. We did it. I didn't watch a single episode, but we did it.
No, for sure. Well, I was really impressed when Trey, I think you asked him, like, were you listening to No Dunks while you're in the tent or while you're, you know, there on location doing the show? And he said, yeah. So, like, in real time, we were encouraging him to go out and win that show. So, very, very excited. So, congrats again, Peter. Go listen to that podcast. It's a lot of fun. He is, what did you call him? I called him delightful. What did you call him there, Lele?
Beautiful young man.
Beautiful, yes. All true, by the way. It's all true.
All right, a couple more here.
Yeah, a couple more.
Hey, No Dunkers, we just had to replace one of the toilets in our home. All right. looking at the brand new sparkling clean porcelain throne, I knew it was finally time.
Oh, God.
I had to do a leapy. Yeah, my main concern in the past was hygiene. Something about it didn't feel right. But with the replacement of the toilet and the floors around it, and behind being scrubbed clean as can be, my excuses had run out. That's a good point. Yep. I settled in and did my business. Honestly, not a fan. But I'm still glad I did it for the culture. What's something that you had to do at least once just to say that you did it? Turned around, stream of piss, squatting. That's from EJ in New York.
Awesome email. I love the honestly not a fan. I tried to mount the toilet like a weirdo and take a pee facing it. Not for me. But that's a great question too. I this is funny because, you know, I didn't plan on this, but we're talking a lot of Greek baseball and Greek cricket and all the Greek sports. But mine is trying the olive challenge, right? That idea task. Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't there something? It's like, you know, if you eat 7 olives, like you will be committed to, you'll be team olive. I'm not an olive fan, is what I'm getting at here. But someone always told me, like, you eat 7 of them, by the 8th one, you're it. You're on the olive train.
Oh, yeah. If you can eat all of the olives, you'll love them forever. I've never heard that before.
You never heard this? Oh, this is.
You eat 7 olives and you're an olive fan for life.
I think Laura told you this because she said it so many times. I'm like, is this a thing?
It is.
I have no idea.
It is.
But I love it. Take the olive challenge. Send us pictures or videos of yourself eating 7 olives in a row and let us know the change and how much you like it from the first olive to the last.
Well, yeah, because I remember when I was younger, my mom does love olives, so they're around, they're in the house, but I hated them. I just don't like them. And I remember her telling me that, like, if you eat 7 of these in a row, by the 8th one, you'll be, on team olive. And I have tried it for the culture, gave it a go, and didn't work. So this challenge is bogus. It's like I just was not converted, is what I'm saying. So I know, Tass, you're a big olive fan, so I feel bad saying this. But I gave it a go, at least.
I heard if you eat 10, you have to change your name to Ben Golliver.
You're on fire today, Ellis. You're on fire. Oh, man. All right. Well, who else got an answer for this?
When I first moved to Toronto, I wanted to do all these Canadian things that I'd never done before, and North American things. And so in the summer, I went to baseball and stuff like that. It was great. And then in the winter, it was like everyone said, you've got to go to a Buffalo Bills game. That's a real Toronto thing to do. And I was like, okay, great. So me and my mate Benny went out there.
That's a real Toronto thing
Benny
to do.
Benny and the Bills.
To go to another country, another city.
But everyone said, you've got to go to a Bills tailgate. That's what it was, actually. And I was like, all right, great.
It's not wrong. So
I was like, all right, great. So I kind of, listen, don't tell anyone this, but I kind of snuck over the border because so many people come over. Yeah. And we drove across and they just said, have you got your passports? And, you know, the Australian one is blue and the Canadian one is red, isn't it?
No, it's blue.
Oh, it's blue. That's right. Yeah, yeah. And anyway, so Benny just held up mine behind his and the lady just waved us through. Yeah, I know. Wow. I was like, that's probably a bit silly because just in case someone got a bit silly. And then I was going to have to get back into the country that night. Anyway, it worked fine.
Did you lean out the window? Go Bills, man.
Anyway,
Jim Kelly's looking pretty good, isn't he?
It was only... probably October, but it was freezing out in Buffalo, absolutely freezing. And but it lived up to the hype. Like, Bills fans are known to just go completely nuts before the game, you know, jumping off the cars into tables, and everyone was just hammered at like 12 o'clock. I think the game tipped off at 1. And we got tickets, or kicked off, whatever. You know.
Yeah, whatever.
The tickets we got were only $10, but they were right up the top of Bill's Stadium there.
You're sitting on a metal bench for sure.
That was even colder, and then it was windy as all hell up there as well. I was never colder in my life, and it was only October. Like I say, this wasn't January or February.
Yeah,
so freezing. But the craziest thing was, being up there, it was like being in a bar or a nightclub. Like, nobody was watching the game. Everyone was just completely bombed for the entire...
Must have been some fights, right? Any fights?
You know what? I don't think I did see any fights, but I just remember looking around and people... No one was watching the game at all. Everyone was just so drunk at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And it was fun. It was fun to be there. But I just remember thinking like, This is so, so cold. Because the Bills were kind of big in Australia there for a while because they made the four Super Bowls and they used to broadcast those live. So I think right. the Bills have actually got a few fans out in Australia, even though they completely blew it every single time. But so it was kind of cool to be there. And I had to go there for that. Like, I want to do this one time. And I've never been back, but I've got that memory of just freezing, nearly freezing to death out in Buffalo and sneaking across the border and then sneaking back over the border later in that night.
I was going to ask you if you warmed up with a beer or two, but they probably didn't serve any fancy schmancy beers for you, so you didn't have any.
We went straight to the
martini up there.
No, we went to the 7-Eleven and got. I did drink the Bud Light, you know, the big, like, just the big
car
bucket
battery.
Like $2, I think it was. And you were just drinking. You were just drinking that for like the next 5 hours, and it was like. But I was like, yeah, I feel a part of it today, you know.
All right. Well, one thing I had to do for the culture was watch Tenet. I did it this weekend.
Oh, my God. You bought it.
I made the purchase. Yeah. Date night. Wow. You know, I haven't been out with Danielle for years. So I thought $19.99. It's like five times the price of Home Alone. But I said, I'm doing it, baby. $20. Got to do it. Everybody's going to do it. And I'm glad I bought it because it needs to be rewatched over and over and over again to understand what the heck is happening. It was one of those, you got to stop. Let's have a conversation. Unfortunately, I don't want to stop, but got to have a conversation about this.
You were stopping the movie to like,
you had
like,
to.
Let's check
I had
here.
To. It was just too much. First time through, there's no way you can understand everything that's happening or close to everything that's happening.
Wow.
So it's one of those. You got to throw on the closed captioning too if you watch Tenet. Some low talkers. The volume between sound effects and dialogue. Oof.
Yeah, that's Nolan's fault. His audio sucks, like,
oh boy.
Anyway, sorry,
there were some struggles. Yeah, there that was a struggle, no doubt. I noticed we had it up so high because you couldn't make out
the dialogue.
Yeah, and you're waking up the baby.
Yeah, waking up a kid. But no, actually it was good. I'm glad. Thank you, Christopher Nolan. I'm glad we can start to finally pump some sound into this house. The kids will be fine. I had it up at 100. I had the surround sound blasting. The kids, they were sleeping. They were enjoying the sound effects.
Here's the question. Did you like it? Is it good?
Yeah, it's good. It is good. But,
and you will watch it again?
You know, it's one of those. Like, yeah, I'll have to watch it again. Danielle is more of the rewatch 16 times to understand what's going on. I'll probably give it one more time. And if I don't get it, I don't want to go read about it. It's tough. It's a tough
so,
watch.
So the movie ended and it's safe to say you're like, I don't know. I have an idea, but I don't really know. Is that what you're doing?
No spoiler alert.
No, please don't.
I won't say anything. It's okay.
You're confused. There's
a lot.
Confused. Okay.
There's a lot going on. It's Inception, but five times that, I'd say.
Oh, wow. Got to go deeper.
Way deeper.
I already hate it.
It's tough. You didn't like Inception, JD?
I didn't love it.
Okay.
I mean, it's fine, I guess.
I enjoy Inception. I think it's fine. But if this is like a souped-up Inception, yeah, I could see why that would be a little confusing for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Tenet, you bought it. Oh, man. I'm just going to have to get over to Tass's house and watch Tenet here soon. I'm not...
Can't even rent
splurging.
It.
Splurging. No, you can't.
January 5th.
I don't think you can rent it until January
5th.
Yeah, right. Trey, you had an answer for this question.
Yeah, we've done a lot of pick-em payoffs over the years, so we're always trying to come up with ideas, and one idea we had that we tried and never used was a shock collar. Skeets and I both gave this a shot in the starter's office not too long ago. Take a look, Skeets. Here we go.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think we started it on a 3. A little interesting on the arm. Whoa. But JD here saying, hey, that's 3. You want to go to 4? I'll go to 4. And I'll just take a quick little shot here on the arm, and it hurt a little too much to the point where we're like, probably not the greatest idea to put a full-grown man with a dog collar shocking him on the neck on TV.
Would have been amazing, though.
Would have been amazing, though.
It's one of my biggest regrets.
Yeah, that would have been a really like so good funny. Pick 'em payoff because like this is and like that video too. You and I know Trey when it's coming.
Yeah.
Like, we have an idea, like, all right, go. You imagine you're sitting, like, we're hosting the starters or whatever, and, like, you have no clue who's pressing the button and when they're going to press it? That would be petrifying.
Well, and it Tass was a and I painful. Owe a pick and payoff. I don't know who's still got shot collars around, JD.
I still got it.
That'd be awesome if it had like a Wi-Fi interface and you can control it from there while we're sitting in our houses.
Okay, one of these days, we'll do
one
it.
One of these days.
And I guess we, I assume we're continuing the pick and payoffs, right? The season starts. It does not feel like it. Oh, man. All right, pick and payoffs will be back. Woe Boys will likely be back. All the good fun will be back in your lives here soon with the No Dunks Daily Show. But one more question before we wrap up this beach step-in. AO, No Dunks crew, long-time listener, second-time emailer from across the pond in London, UK. I know you like those sweet, short messages, but you'll have to bear with me on this one for a little bit. After discovering you during your days as the starters, I was immediately hooked and spent my time listening to every one of your episodes from the very start. I finally got all caught up, and then you were on the move again to sign your next big free agent deal. My social media game is whack, and so I lost track of you. When I rediscovered you, I had another catalog to work my way through. Plus, you kept churning out that awesome content at high speed, making it even harder for me to catch up. I refused to give up, though, and the other day, I got myself up to date and have once more listened to every one of your episodes. You're completely worth it for not only being the best basketball content out there, but also the best podcast in the world. That's very kind of you. Anyway, after that ramble, I do have an NBA-related question. Heading into another season with a short turnaround and everything else that will make this season an even bigger grind than usual, what's one thing you want a player, a team, or anybody else to persevere with this season? Keep up your GOAT status, respect others, kindness for all, education reform. That's from Darren, who has now listened to every single Starters episode and every single No Dunks episode. Wow, that's a lot of shows right there. I mean, how many did we do as a starters? Over 1,000, right?
1,330
was the final. Oh, my God, was it that high? So, yeah, and we've done... Wow. Okay, you've listened to a lot of episodes there, Darren. Respect. So, had to get your question in here. I'll keep my answer short and simple. I want to see a healthy Steph Curry for the entire year. I you know, whether or not James Harden gets traded to the Warriors, I want to see Curry... And if he can sort of take with no Clay, of course, on the Warriors, to still an elite level in the Western Conference, and you know, he's just a blast to watch. It's a no brainer pick for me. I just want a healthy Steph Curry. I want a healthy all guys like Kevin Durant and all that, but especially him, because the league's a lot more fun when Curry's, you know, dropping bombs from 30 feet and going for 30 and 40 and has those games where he hits 10 threes and looks unstoppable. It's just it's a blast. So healthy Steph Curry for me, Trey. What do you got?
That's a good one. He caught fire earlier in the preseason. Fun to watch. Yes. Always fun to watch when this guy is on fire. Something I hope continues to happen through the season is Kyrie Irving saging the arenas when he goes to play. He just returned to Boston. There was footage of him walking around the court before the game during his pregame warmups, just saging around. They asked Kevin Durant after. He's like, yeah, he's probably going to do it in every single arena he plays for. We love his energy. So I guess you just got to keep saging it. Might start it around here. Sage the bedroom before we start recording a classic. It's a guaranteed classic. Another thing I want to continue is the leaf blowers. You know, they were huge during season one. We had a little bit earlier start today. We got a little background leaf blowing noise. So keep up, guys. You know, it's going to be tough. We're coming into winter here. Almost all the leaves are off the trees.
Yeah.
Might have to switch to snow blowing. There's always going to be something to do. You're always going to be able to move something around outside, right outside of my window. So please keep it up, guys.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Lee, what do you have?
Well, mine's a bit of a boring answer, but I'm going with Giannis and the Bucks. I want them to go on and win the championship because Giannis has gone from like, oh my God, this guy's a freak to like a two-time MVP to now it's like, can he perform in the playoffs? Right, and I think it'll just be a great way to sort of the next chapter of this story for Giannis to then step up and drag this team, the Bucks, and win a championship on his back. I think that's really what he's missing right now because, you know, we don't want to look back and just say, well, yeah, he put up in, you know, gaudy numbers during the regular season, but in playoff time, he just wasn't able to perform. And he's still very young. He's still got plenty of time.
I was going to say, he's got to get in line, man. There's guys ahead of him that he's got to get behind. Chris Paul and maybe Harden if you're a fan. And
the story about Giannis, though, like he only started playing basketball, you know, what, 10 years or something like that ago, and he's already excelled to an incredible level in the NBA. And I think though now he's just got a few targets on his back. People are kind of like, maybe this guy isn't quite as dominant as those numbers suggest. So I would love to see him finish it off, win a championship for the Bucks, and I think that'd just be a great story. So I hope it can happen this year. It'd be great because I think he deserves it.
Okay, Tass, what do you have?
Mine relates to the Bucks a little bit. Jabari Parker, who was drafted by the Bucks in 2014, he was a number two pick. And ever since we had him on the show and we gave him a cake that had number two Buckaroo listed on it, written on it, I should say, after he was picked. You know, I've been a fan of his. He stayed after the show and signed everyone's autograph requests. And I've been in his corner. He's played six seasons in the NBA now. He's on the Sacramento Kings. Six seasons, same as his dad, Sonny Parker, played in the league. I didn't realize his dad played at the league. But now his Sonny, Jabari, is 26, and he's a free agent at the end of this season. There's playing time to be had in Sacramento. So hopefully he gets out there and is as effective as he was with the Hawks last year. He was decent with the Hawks. So hopefully he can find his way because he's a talented dude. You know, I like guys who bring out the skyhook. You can call him Kareem Abdul-Jabari Parker. He plays kind of fun out there, so hopefully he finds his way.
Great picks. Let's hear from you guys out there as well on the stream team. Tweet at us at NoDunksInc. Let's call it there. That's enough of today's Beach Step-In. We will be back tomorrow on Tuesday before the NBA tips off on Tuesday night again. Still sounds weird to say out loud. Going to have a special guest joining us on Tuesday. So make sure you subscribe to No Dunks wherever you listen to us. And help us out if you don't watch on YouTube. Subscribe there as well. Hit the notification button. Hit the like. Comment. Why not? If you download and listen to the show on Apple Podcasts, leave us that 5-star rating and review. I think, Trey, you said maybe early in the new year you'll do 5-star Friday for us. Is that correct?
Yeah, it turns out we're going to be busy the next couple of Fridays. Yeah. It turns out Christmas is this Friday, and then after that, this year, for some reason, a week after Christmas, New Year's. I can't believe it.
Yeah, yeah. It's
ridiculous.
Strange.
So
very
we'll hold strange. It until January. But get them in, because they still count, even if it's December.
Yeah, and speaking of like Christmas or Christmas traditions when it comes to our show, we got something in store a little bit later this week for the diehards. I'm also waiting on the Hamaker Schlemmer catalog to arrive. So hopefully, it's got to get here soon if I'm going to give you suggestions to get gifts for the holidays. But we'll see if it arrives in time. So leave your 5-star ratings and reviews over on Apple. Go get your new No Dunks merchandise. It's the No Dunks basketball high school team. Let's be honest, guys. You got the gray, you got the purple, you got the black. We got champion shorts. We got the crew neck sweatshirt. It's lovely. So go to nodunks.com to get the new items or get the old items. Get all the items. Get them all, guys. All right, we'll call it there.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thank you for joining us. And one of life's biggest quandaries is, did Oliver Miller like olives?
Embrace the day.